This is late.
I was cold.
I was cold sitting out in the car waiting for you too. I'm like, where is she?
I was cold because I needed a sweater. And what did I do that for? So I got up in there. Now I'ma just be frank with y'all. I love going to the thrift store. And my grandmother had a thrift store. She owned one before she passed long, long ago. And I think she passed her anointing on to me somehow. Because no matter what it is that I want or need, I won't even say it out loud, but it'll turn up at the thrift store. And so I needed a couple of things. I needed. Why is somebody laughing at me?
Right.
Who
is that?
Don't laugh. Because
who is that?
Says Cairo. What's going on, Cairo?
What's up?
Don't laugh.
What's up?
I'm going to pop some tags.
Cairo been sticking with us. Did you hear me? Cairo been sticking with us. He been hanging tight. He really has. He's so smart. Listen. He's intelligent, and I miss you so much, and I love you, and I love everybody. Yes, I do.
Listen, you don't have...
I love mommy, and I love daddy. I love all of you. Yes.
You don't have to spend $1 million to look like $1 million. Mm-hmm. You really don't. So today I needed some... I was cold. That was why I went, because I was cold. I got a $100 pair of boots for $19.99. And still had the tags on them. Never been worn. I got several sweaters. I got some pants appropriate for winter. And something that I wanted deep down in my heart that I hadn't really confessed to anybody. I wanted an infrared heater. And y'all know, if y'all done priced them at Walmart, y'all already know they over $100. Why did they have one there and it was $14.99 and works just fine? That's why I was running behind on getting the show started, because I was cold. And God had blessed me with the thrift store anointing. Now, that's not an excuse, but it is an explanation why I'm running a little late today.
But I was sitting there out in the car. Out in the car now well, for 40 over 45 minutes. I'm like, oh, I'm cold. Come on, Jackie. Well, I could start the car, I know. But
and the other reason why I was late was because we decided to take pictures for the holidays.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show y'all on the camera. I'm going to show you the pictures that we took. So it's Love, it's Lady J, and it's the dog Peaches.
And look, now I thought to take out my pendant and stuff.
It's the dog Peaches.
L for love.
And the cat. Now the cat was not cooperative. His name is Wolverine. And we call him Wolvie for short, because he's got the Wolverine claws, and boy, does he know how to use them. So I'm going to show y'all the picture.
I can show
you. Look on the screen here. This is the picture. Merry Christmas and happy holidays from Lady J, Love, Peaches, and Wolvie. Here, show the people on your screen there.
Absolutely.
Now, for those of you that are just listening on the radio, don't feel like you are left out, because you're not left out. All you need to do is go to your favorite social media. We do repost this to my government name Facebook account, as well as our Mind His Business YouTube account. So go to YouTube and type in Mind His Business. Now, someone did tell me that you have to type it in all one word, or else it's not going to come up, because we've been shadow banned, which means that they'll let us post videos, but they won't let you find it in the search. So the way you find us on YouTube is type in at Mind His Business, all one word.
Now, at is not the word AT.
No, it's the at symbol.
Yes,
they know
the
that. Anybody
symbol.
That's on
Listen,
the internet, they know.
No, they don't know. You have to tell them.
Mind His Business on YouTube.
At symbol, Mind His Business.
Then you can see the video.
Yes.
Or, excuse me, the picture of how cute the pets are. Because, you know, we already told you guys the legend about Wolverine the barn cat, right? We told you what happened. That we were praying for a barn cat for our homestead, because y'all know we got some land and we're building that up to be a self-sufficient homestead. And we said, oh my goodness, we're gonna need something to control the mice, because when you're out there in the rural areas, there's lots of field mice out there. Now, a good thing about it is that snakes will eat mice, but I don't like snakes either. So I decided that we're gonna get a barn cat, and then he's gonna do the work of making sure that we don't have mice or snakes.
Well, so, that's the thing is, I from what I understand, the type of snakes that are really, really poisonous, we don't have, which is a good thing.
Nah, we just got the little garter snakes.
Right.
Most of y'all here in Omaha might have even encountered one, and they're not poisonous, and they'll startle you, but they won't kill you if they bite. So we needed a barn cat, and we prayed, and we said, oh, we need a barn cat to get these mice. And we were driving to the homestead, and running across the highway right in front of us was this little tiny cute kitten. And so immediately I looked at Love and she looked at me and we was like, barn cat.
No, so, I didn't say barn cat.
I did.
I said, stop, Jackie, stop. You're going to run him over.
So I stopped and I was like, barn cat. Let me go see if I can get him.
That's what Jackie was saying.
I said, that's my blessing, running right across in front of me. I didn't even have to go looking for somebody's cat
and we need to return him back. And so we looked, but nobody.
So
nobody wanted him and nobody claimed him.
Well, you're jumping ahead of my story.
Oh, go.
So we stopped the vehicle. Now, mind you, we're in the middle of the, you know, in the rural areas, driving to the homestead, and he ran right across the street. It was like God brought him to us. So we went over. The grass was high. He started hiding in the grass, and he was meowing. And at first he was like, no, I ain't feeling y'all. So I went back to the car kind of disappointed. And she was like, try one more time.
I said, Jackie, go get him. He belonged to somebody.
So I walked back over. And why did he come over and was meowing at me like, now you know what you're supposed to do. So we picked him up.
Fed him.
Went to the next stop.
Don't forget I fed him.
Well, we stopped at the nearest structure.
There was a barn. I fed him ice cream.
There was a barn up there, and so we thought maybe he had come from wherever that barn was. It was, you know, not too far away.
It had a cup that had a little bit of ice cream in it.
So we stopped, and we were going to leave a note. Hey, did you lose your cat? You know, right? Because we don't want to take somebody else's kitten.
No.
And so they showed up just as we were leaving, probably because they saw us on their cameras. Because when you have a homestead in the rural areas, you definitely want cameras to make sure that you can surveil your property. And we have some, too. So they probably saw us on the cameras, and so they drove up and we said, is this your cat? And the dogs that were there, we were like, we don't know.
They were letting us know, get out of here.
But he was like, nope, not my cat. My dogs don't even like cats. Mm-hmm. And there's cats that run around the countryside all the time. You know, they're wild. And
they
were
saying people just go out there and drop kittens and stuff out there because they can't take care of them.
Don't do that. Don't do that. If you're going to get a cat in the city, you know, the prevailing wisdom is to get them spayed or neutered so that we're not exploding the population.
No, go to the Humane Society or somewhere and turn them in.
But if you're out in the country, most people don't even do that because they're good for keeping your mouse population down. So long story short, he said it wasn't his kitten. So that's how we got Wolverine. And the reason why his name became Wolverine was because he was scratching. So at first we were going to call him Corky, but that didn't fit. I was like, I don't like that name.
No, it sounds like wimpy every time I hear the word Corky.
Yeah.
Wimpy.
And so once he was jumping and he splayed his little claws out, his little tiny claws with his little tiny cat voice, I said, oh, yeah, let's call him Wolverine. And it stuck. So we call him Wolvie for short.
I think he stayed with us because I had fed him that cappuccino coffee ice cream thing. And I think he was like, yeah, I'm sticking with y'all.
So we found the nearest gas station and picked up some cat food and some little kitty litter. And he's been ours ever since. And
yeah.
And he definitely lives up to his name. So we are very blessed that when you pray for something, just know God may bring it to you in an unexpected way. That's mm-hmm. all I can tell you. And so same thing with the thrift store anointing. I was cold, but for a long time I said, oh, I really want one of those infrared heaters. And I'm, you know, I didn't tell anybody that that's what I wanted. But when I went in there, there it was. And sometimes you just don't know how God is going to answer your prayer. Just have confidence that he will answer your prayer, and then keep your eyes and your expectations open and watch what God will do.
Yeah. Yes. You know what? We want to say thank you for joining us. We apologize for being late.
You already said
okay?
that.
Okay, I just want to make sure that they know that we apologize for being late. This is going to be a good one today, y'all. If you need to get you a little bit of paper or something, or get your listening ears on, you're going to really love today, okay? And we're going to try to get as much in as we possibly can, okay? Let's go.
So, as you all know, I don't always try to focus on current events, because I like for these broadcasts, when you go back and listen to them maybe months or years later, I want them to be as relevant to you in the future as they are at the time that you actually hear them. But sometimes things come up that are current events that can fit into things that are important to us from a Bible perspective. So today, we want to talk a little bit about these drones that people are seeing and talking about in the news, the drones and the orbs, and there's all kind of theories on what they are and what do they mean and why all the mystery from the government that doesn't seem to want to admit what they are and all of these sorts of things. Is it aliens? Is it, yeah, what is it?
And another thing, if you notice that your phones are not working at times and then they are working, then they freeze at times, we're going to be talking about that too.
So there's two videos that I wanted to play from people that have a very nice perspective on what these drones are all about. But I think I'm only going to play just one of them today. And the one I'm going to choose to play is the biblical perspective. Now, what I will tell you from a news perspective is that these drones, just flat out, they're not aliens.
That's okay? Right.
Just flat out.
That's right. That's
full
right.
Stop. Don't even need to entertain any sort of non-mainstream ideas about what they are. Put on your logical thinking cap for just a moment and think to yourself, if it was really an alien, would it really have the FAA green and red lights on it? See, anytime you fly a drone or an airplane or a helicopter or any sort of vehicle like that, there is an organization in the United States called the FAA, or the Federal Aviation Association. And anything that is flying in the air, whether it's a drone, plane, helicopter, etc., is required to have certain markings on it, such as green and red lights, just as an example. Right. So if these drones that were flying overhead were aliens,
come on,
do you really think aliens would be complying with FAA regulations? Yeah, just think that through for just a second. Okay. So those are not, they're not aliens, okay? They are more than likely, from the research that I've been consuming about the issue, they're more than likely American-made. They're more than likely, now, of course, this is speculation because I don't know, I'm not in the military. But just from everything that I can find on the internet about what they're shaped like, what they look like, the fact that they have certain lights and markings, they indicate that more likely than not, these drones that we're seeing in the sky are actually nuclear sniffers. And what that means is they have very advanced technology. They're drones, and you can actually look up pictures of nuclear sniffing drones. And what they're designed to do as a very high-level military technology is they can scan wide areas, because they're drones, obviously, and they can pick up things like gamma rays, uranium, things that would indicate a presence of nuclear materials, just to kind of make it simple. And they have been flying, if you notice, over different nuclear energy plants. They've also been flying over airports. So from a military perspective, the suggestion is that they, meaning the government, is concerned about our enemies, whoever they are, trying to bring in nuclear materials to try to do something bad to America. And so a lot of these drones, if you'll notice in the news, you've been seeing them over airports, you've been seeing them over nuclear facilities, like energy facilities, nuclear power plants, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. They're showing up in a lot of the East Coast states, such as New Jersey, for example. And that is logical, and that makes sense. If our enemies were going to try to bring something over, they would probably fly in from overseas and come in through an airport. And also, they would be targeting various military and nuclear facilities if they wanted to do some damage to America. Mm-hmm. And so, as the American military's job is to defend and protect America, mm-hmm. they're more likely than not sending up these drones to scan for things that could be a nuclear threat, if that makes sense. Now, if you're the American government, would you really want to tell the people that that's what you're doing?
No.
You probably wouldn't, for a couple of reasons. One, you would not want to cause a mass panic. Imagine if they had gone on the air when the first one showed up to New Jersey and they said, oh, well, we got nuclear sniffing drones in the air because there might be a nuclear dirty bomb planted somewhere by our enemies in New Jersey. What do you think would happen?
Come on.
Well, everyone would be in a mass panic and they would all try to evacuate New Jersey all at once. That would cause a problem with a lot of things, a problem with the economy. It would just cause chaos and panic that would spread very quickly. And so the government doesn't want the American people to go into a panic. So they would rather just be evasive and not only say, well, it's not this, and it's not this, and it's not this, but then not tell you what it is.
They just be lying and denying.
And the other thing is they want to allow some of those more outlandish ideas about what they might be to flourish so that it kind of distracts from what's really going on. So you got people out there saying it's Project Bluebeam, which if you're not familiar with that, it is a highly classified military technology where you could literally, to make it simple, you could put massive sized holograms in the sky that people could all see at once.
Right.
And that's an actual project. It's a military project that some people think will actually be used to fake an alien invasion or make people think that the Messiah has come and they're in disguise. Like, you could put any sort of hologram you wanted in the sky with something like Project Bluebeam and deceive lots and lots of people, which of course sounds kind of biblical if you think about it, because it says that, you know, certain things people are going to be able to see all at the same time. Well, if you had a massive holographic projector that you could project across the skies, that would be pretty convincing to a lot of people who aren't familiar with their Bibles. Right. Remember that movie Independence Day?
Oh, yeah.
And they had those huge ships that were up in the air and then everyone could look up in the sky and see them. Well, you could easily simulate that with a Project Bluebeam hologram. So if you see something like that, believer, don't be deceived, because one of the main things that's going to be indicator that we're in the end times is massive deception.
Correct.
Some of the other things that they're suggesting is that maybe it's aliens trying to make first contact, right? And as Bible believers, we know that aliens, the word alien simply means foreign or unidentified. So when you hear the word alien, that's why back in the day they used to use the word illegal alien to describe people that would come over what we call today undocumented immigrants. Mm-hmm. They used to be called illegal aliens, which is actually a more accurate term, because the word alien doesn't mean species from outer space necessarily. It just means foreigner.
Right.
And if you actually read your King James Bible, you'll find the word alien in the Bible. But whenever you see the word alien, it means foreigner, someone that is foreign to your tribe, nation, culture, etc. That's all the word alien means. But right now, we've had so much propaganda about aliens that really that word alien has become somewhat of a substitute for the word outer space, alien, you know, that sort of thing. And those aliens, or so-called aliens, actually is a masquerade for what we know in the Bible as fallen angels. So when you see things like the other things that they're showing on the screen, like orbs, and they fly in unique patterns and they seem to not follow the normal patterns of what you would see for a helicopter, a drone, or an airplane, those are the other things that they're allowing, and by they, I mean the military, is allowing different theories to run wild, because it's easier to obscure the truth of what they're doing under the cover of, well, you know, listen to all these wild ideas about what they could be. And then that way they have plausible deniability and they can debunk whatever is out there. If you have studied anything else, go ahead.
Well, that's what they do, is they let you draw your own assumptions rather than answer. They just let your, whatever comes to your mind or whatever you think it is. Oh, that must be what it is.
Right. And then that way they don't have to actually explain, because you've already made up your own mind, because your mind filled in the blanks. It's kind of like when somebody wants to deceive you and they start, you know, you start questioning them about what it really is, and they say things that are so vague that really it could be anything at all. And then you, as the accuser, you start filling in the blanks of what you think it is. And then you'll say, well, is it such and such? And then they go, yeah. Uh-huh. It's such and such. Knowing that it ain't such and such, but because you think it's such and such, they just let you run with it. That's what the government is doing. Now, as far as these orbs are concerned, there is other technology that the government has that they have not released to the public. And you can actually find patents for it. There is what's called anti-gravity machines, for lack of a better word, that use magnetism and other technology that they have not yet released to the public to make items hover or move using magnetism. And they kind of call it anti-gravity craft, but really it's not gravity that's making it move, it's magnetism. But you can make it move, turn on a dime, you can make it stop, you can make it go straight up in the air, like all the things that you see from these orbs, you can do that actually with the technology that the military has right now. And some of those orbs, it's could be suggested that those orbs are actually military technology that they're just trying out and testing. Whether it's for anti-ballistic missile purposes or whether it's for surveillance, whatever it might be. They're not going to tell us in the public what it is. Because if they told us, then that means they would also be telling our enemies.
And then, of course, you have the fake fact checkers. Who are the fact checkers anyways?
Who fact checks the fact checkers?
Right. Who are they?
Who knows? But if you think, you know, again, let's put on our logical cap, our logical thinking caps. If it was something that was a threat to America, don't you think they would shoot it down? The fact that they don't shoot these things down, even though they know where they are, you got plenty of people with phones and cameras and everything that can say it's right here. Don't you think that American military has radar where they know where these things are? Don't you think they can scramble fighter jets and take those things out if they really wanted to? Mm-hmm. Don't you think they have lasers and directed energy weapons that they could use to drop them out of the sky, or electric magnetic pulses if they really, really wanted to do that? Yeah. The reason they're not doing it is because it's our own technology being used to either surveil or defend or whatever it might be. That's the most logical and reasonable answer. Not that this aliens, but that the military is doing their job. That's the most reasonable, logical conclusion. So don't be afraid if you see things that they call unidentified aerial phenomena, or they'll call them UAPs, or you'll have all these things that are out there. But believe it, don't be deceived. Yeah. Don't be deceived.
Another thing, too, is that when you think about this thing about aliens and all that, come on now. They've had so many movies out about aliens. Why?
Propaganda,
because they know that if you ever saw a real fallen angel, have you ever thought about that? What would you think it would be? Whoa. You never seen an angel before?
Especially if you're not a believer and come you on. Don't believe in angels or demons or Nephilim.
Fallen
or,
angels.
Or anything else.
That's what they are,
fallen
angels.
If you saw some massively light, because it says... that Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. Let me pull up that scripture verse.
Right.
And his ministers also make themselves look like light. So quite naturally, if you saw some big light or some creature that was shining like light, or an orb in the sky that looks like light, a person that is not familiar with the scripture, what else would they think? Oh, mm-hmm. it's aliens. Why would mm-hmm. they think that? Because just like you said, there's been over 100 years of propaganda about angel aliens that come and have contact with human beings. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take it a step further, but we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But let me get that. Let me read that verse here quickly. An angel of light. Oops. I'm sorry. I'm typing while I'm talking, and I'm trying to think and type and talk all at the same time. That's kind of hard to do when you're trying to have your thought and make it cohesive and pull it up at the same time. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Yeah, that's where we're going. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And if you're watching this on video, let me put that up the screen for those of you that are looking at the video. It says, starting in verse 13, it says, For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Last week we talked about how the word Christ in the Greek means anointed one, mm-hmm. or someone that has extraordinary, there's something extraordinary about them, okay? Transforming mm-hmm. themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. An angel of light. So when you mm-hmm. see these orbs of light that are up there and they say, oh, it's aliens. It could be very well. It could be fallen angels masquerading as angels of light. But if they were going to do that, why would you do something as pedestrian as just, oh, I'm just going to fly in the sky and just fly in the sky in a pattern and then disappear.
No, angels are angels are quite something. And even those who are the fallen ones, who may even be a part of, that made it with the women. If you all have done your study.
Oh, you're skipping ahead of me. Yep.
Let me you're back doing it good. Up. Let me back it up and dump it.
Nope, you're doing great. You're skipping ahead of me. But interestingly enough, there's a lot of people who are now pushing this light, this agenda of light. You know how perhaps you've heard New Age people talking about light and how they say they're light workers, or you'll hear people say this phrase now, oh, I'm sending you love and light. I'm sending love and light your way. Have you heard that? Mm. It's this obsession with light. Well, the reason for that is because of the verse that I just read to you. Satan is transforming himself to be an angel of light. In other words, mm-hmm. he's not of the light of Christ, but he wants to present himself as the light or as a good thing. And then his ministers, those that are on his team, in the next verse talks about how they transform themselves to make themselves look like ministers of righteousness.
And we know this may sound fantastical. We know this may be hard for you to believe, but if you look, why would the Bible even say anything about it? Come on now.
Because deception is best served with a little bit of truth and a lot of truth and a little bit of a lie mixed in.
Any bit that's false, it makes it a lie.
It invalidates the whole thing.
A little leaven leavens a whole loaf.
So there's a lot of movements now, like the New Age movement. There's the alien. There are different alien religions that are pushing ideas like something called panspermia, which means that aliens are the ones that seeded the earth and that's where humans came from, which isn't it just easier to believe that the Almighty God created everything than to come up with some advanced alien civilization things?
The Word of God says that people would rather believe a lie than the truth.
Absolutely. Because even if you believe that aliens seeded humanity, well, who created the aliens? And then who created them? And who created them? Eventually, you got to go all the way back to the very first creator. At which point in time, well, wouldn't that be God? So let's just skip the middleman. Let's not worship the aliens and just worship the creator
of
all. And
we know there's a lot of you that think there are other worlds out there. No, there's not. We are the apple. We are the center. Do you understand? That's what it could be true that there are other aliens. No, no, No. Those are nothing but fallen ones, okay? And I mean it, Jackie, because it tries to invalidate who we are. It tries to invalidate that we are like what? Nothing? No. When God created us, honey, He created us. He knew us. He formed us. He shaped us. Even before you were a twinkle in your mama and daddy's in your mama and daddy's eye. That's how special you are. I'm not going to just say we, but you. That's how special you are. Don't ever forget that. You are special. There is no one like you. There's no one like me. We are special. So if you got a little problem with some self-esteem, let it be known, okay? Christ lives in you. He's the hope. He is the center. He is your hope. He is your fullness. He is your, can I go ahead and say this word?
Say it.
He's your perfection. He's who makes you perfect. Because all that's being seen is the blood of King Jesus. Okay.
So we have a video that we want to play for you this week, and we may or may not interject in the middle if there's something that we really just want to say in a burning way. But it talks a little bit about these drones and how they could be actually kind of teeing us up for something or preparing us for something. And the reason I want to play this video this week is because we want to do a deep dive into the whole alien phenomena, but we kind of have to prepare the ground a little bit and make sure that the ground is ready for you to receive what it is that we have to say. We talked on this show in the past about the Nephilim of Genesis 6, but we want to give you more context behind that and what that means and what does it mean to be in the days of Noah. But before we can get into that, we kind of have to lay the groundwork a little bit. So we've got a video. And this person you can find on YouTube, he's very good. His name is Ty Green. T-Y is his first name. G-R-E-E-N. Ty Green. That's the video that we're going to share this week. And
we can give Days of Noah a shout out too, might as well.
There's a lot of people we can give a shout out. Yeah. But right now, I want to play this video for you from Ty Green. Very good, solid, biblical teacher. It's not too long. But I think it will be a good encouragement for all of us as we see things that are happening. And so I'm going to go ahead and jump over there and we'll turn up the volume so that you can hear it.
Everybody, I would turn y'all towards the screen, but I don't want to lose y'all again because y'all saw I was having problems with keeping my phone correct.
Oh, okay. So,
and my tablet correct.
So this video that we're going to play for you is by Ty Green on YouTube. I encourage you to look him up. And the title of the video is These Drones, or UAPs, Are a Crescendo to a Biblical Event. So let's go ahead and get into that right now. If I can get my sound going. Hold on, I see sound, but I don't hear sound. Hold on. I thought I had it all ready. And let's see what I can do. Oh, there it goes. Okay.
Sounds right.
Thank you for bearing with me while we get the sound together. And here we go.
Why does this topic keep coming up? UAPs, UFOs, aliens. They tell us, don't look up. But we have a feeling that something from up there is coming down here. Trouble is, that which is looked for is already here. Did you ever have the feeling that the powers that be know something and they're not telling us? It's a buildup to something, right? And it's big, a crescendo to a great deception. The Bible talks about this and gives details to the time frame surrounding it. And you're in it right now. Some believe that when this deception is revealed, when this contact is made, it will be used to explain away why so many folk have disappeared, connecting us to the rapture. Today, the focus will be on a few scriptures that point to where these beings are coming from. Then we can touch on the events surrounding when this alien contact or revealing will happen. I'm going to show you where this is in the Bible, and then we're all going to have to keep it in mind, for we don't know how this is going to be rolled out. We know within scripture the time frame involving when approximately, but how is the question. So there's a whistleblower that says we're definitely not alone. Oh, but some folks know. Folks wonder if he really knows. Soon gone will be the days of the grainy videos and the blurred images. Soon it will be crystal clear. I want to encourage you in what the Bible says about this, because therein is the truth. Let's get into this.
Hopefully your sound is going good on that. Okay.
The word of God is awesome. It tells us the end from the beginning. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. During these times, we've seen and will continue to see biblical prophecy leap off the pages. We will see things come to pass, prophecies fulfilled. Some things are a bit scary, and these serve as warnings. For instance, much of what we study within the book of Revelation serves as warnings as to what's coming, and also serves as time markers to encourage us to be ready for when Jesus comes. And when he does, going to shock the world. Satan knows this and has his own shock the world event planned. And I just want to point out this again, because when it happens, you need to know who's behind it. We've seen hints in movies about visitors from other places, right? We've seen reports on the unidentified in the air. I'm going to point to scripture very briefly, so whenever this event happens, and if you're here to see it, you should remember what scripture says. Don't be fooled by what you're going to see. Let's go to the book of Revelation. I want you to understand that everything of Revelation chapter 4 are future events from when Apostle John wrote down what he was shown through the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked and opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard were, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. From this point in scripture, everything that Apostle John was shown were things which must be hereafter. Jesus had already died on the cross for our sins. He had already been buried, and God raised him up on the third day. Jesus Christ had already ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. At this point in scripture, at Revelation chapter 4, these are past tense events. The same can be said of Satan losing a war in heaven with the third of the angels cast out of heaven. I must stress this again, that these are past events by the time of Apostle John and Revelation chapter 4. This must be understood because the details of Revelation chapter 12 with a woman birthing a man child born, then caught up to God and to his throne, or even a war in heaven, may be a challenge to understand. But now that we somewhat understand that, take a look at the Bible verse that describes the first part of Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. It's very easy to miss. Let's just read the first part of this verse, keeping in mind that this is a future event from when Apostle John was shown these things. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. This tail belongs to the dragon, and the dragon is a representation of Satan. We gain clarity of this further down in verses 7 through 9, and note that in the future, there is a war in the heavens. Let's read this, Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In a future war in the heavens, we see that Satan and his angels lose the battle. They lose.
Now this one third of angels is the one third of
not all the angels
in that God has created. Okay, this is one third of those fallen angels.
Correct.
We want to specify that, okay? Because most people think it's one third of all the angels ever created. No, it's not.
Most angels are loyal to God, obviously, but mm-hmm. there is a certain amount of them that have not been loyal to God, and one third of those are under Satan's instruction. Mm-hmm. Because Satan doesn't have the ability to control God's angels.
Correct.
Obviously.
Correct.
So when it's saying Satan and a third of his angels, that right. means it's one third of the angels that are in agreement with Satan, not one third of all the angels in total.
Correct.
All right, let's keep going.
Lose their place in heaven, and they are cast to the earth. In short, they are stranded upon the earth. No longer can they go to the throne of God and present themselves like we see in the book of Job. These accusers of the brethren are cast down. Revelation 12 and 10 says this, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." All right. Yet before this future war in the heavens, before Satan and his angels are cast out into the earth, this strange event happens. Let's go back to verse 4. Satan, the dragon, sends his angels to the earth. I wonder what they're up to. Notice the sequence of events here. Satan sends down his angels first. Then we see later a war in the heavens where Satan and his angels fight against Michael and his angels. You seeing this? So whatever it looks like when Satan sends those fallen angels down to the earth, it'll be a deception and it will be planned. Just saying, don't fall for it. Whether it's an alien encounter, first contact, alien invasion, whatever the media spin is on this, don't believe it. Look at the Word of God. What folks may see and hear may be convincing, but the Word of God sets it straight and it's full of truth. The point here is Satan is behind the sending or the casting down of the third part of these stars, these fallen angels. And when Satan sends his crew to the earth, folks are going to have questions. Look at this.
Religions would be instantly thrown into turmoil. How many faiths believe that God created humanity in his image? The presence of another highly intelligent species making contact with us would throw that concept into doubt and lead many to question their faith.
Let me go back to that part, because he's talking a little fast.
Religions would be instantly thrown into turmoil. How many faiths believe that God created humanity in his image? The presence of another highly intelligent species making contact with us would throw that concept into doubt and lead many to question their faith. Would leave their faith seeking answers elsewhere. Others would believe more fiercely than ever, insisting that the presence of aliens was a test for the faithful, and it's likely that new faiths would spring up around our alien visitors. After all, powerful and strange beings descending from the sky to make contact with us calls some powerful visuals to mind for the faithful.
See that? Don't be deceived, folks. They may not be green or gray or look like this. Don't focus on what they look like. Don't believe in anything they say. It'll be some truth mingled in with lies. Look at the sequence of events from the Word of God. Look at the sequence of events from the Word of God. Lastly, these beings are in fact in league with Satan. Once again, let's take a look at where they are cast from. Revelation 12:4 says, the heavens. The same place mentioned right here. And we've seen it before in Ephesians 6:12. But we'll start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And when we look at the wiles of the devil, one could attribute some of this to man, but clearly the Word of God says not against flesh and blood. Is that plain or what? Let's go even further. We know this has a spiritual element to it, as the spiritual wickedness in high places is not referring to a lofty position that one could acquire or attain. This is not a reference to the elite, folks in the high places within society. Watch this now. The high places are not on the earth. Look at the Strong's Concordance on the word high. G2032, existing in heaven, things that take place in heaven, the heavenly regions, heaven itself, the abode of God and the angels. Now, we know this is the third heaven where Apostle Paul was caught up to. Then it goes into the lower heavens of the stars. This is what we call outer space. Further on, the heavens of the clouds. This is the atmosphere of earth. The heavenly temple or sanctuary of heavenly origin or nature. See that? We battle against the spiritual wickedness in the high places. And we know that they ain't doing this in the third heaven. Where God is, God ain't having it. It's in the lower two heavens, the outer space above the earth and in the atmosphere. Now we can see why some of this was sealed until the last days. Some things are getting ready to happen that is going to be unbelievable. And the Bible details it. Not so that we will be afraid of what's coming, but for those that will heed the warning of the Lord to be aware of how life will be in the fallen world that is no longer under grace, but under judgment due to sin and iniquity. It is an encouragement to repent, to change our mind in regards to sin and accept the gift of God, salvation through Jesus Christ. He did die on that cross for our sins. He was buried and God raised him up on the third day, just like Scripture says. And it's not just what Jesus did, but why. And most of us have heard this. Jesus himself said this, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah.
Yes, I think that's a good spot right there.
Hallelujah.
That's a good spot right there for us to just go ahead and jump in. So we wanted you to listen to that because you're going to see a lot of things on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Much of it is just straight up distraction. As I was mentioning earlier, there's a lot of distraction going because the military does not necessarily want to divulge what's really going on, because if they did, it might cause a panic, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But there's also a lot of predictive programming and propaganda that has been going on for a very long time to prepare people for this eventual revelation event that you see there, where Satan and his angels come and drastically change everything that we know mm-hmm. about the world up until now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next week, we would like to, unless the Holy Spirit leads us in a different direction, we want to talk about what the purpose is for those fallen angels coming, and to give additional context from a reference work that exists as one of the works of writings that is referenced by Scripture. So there are 66 writings in the Holy Scriptures that Christians generally around the world accept as being the official inspired by God works. Another word you'll hear from that is the canon of Scripture. And in the canon of Scripture, in the 66 writings that we have now, there are three books in particular that are referenced in the Scriptures that we have. Those three books are Jasher, Jubilees,
right,
and the book of First Enoch. And the book of First Enoch, it's, I'd like for you to think of it as when you're writing a term paper in high school or college, perhaps you're writing a term paper, and in order to write that term paper, you have to put footnotes and you have to put references in that paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you write what you're going to write, And then if a person wants more information, they go and they look at the references that you put in your paper to get more information that helps to explain or expand what it is that you wrote in your term paper. Well, those three additional books that are mentioned in Scripture are just like that. They're reference material for what's in the 66 books. One of those three, in particular, the book of 1 Enoch, helps to explain all of the events that happened during the days of Noah when we had a first incursion of fallen angels that came to earth. They took wives of human women. They created genetically modified hybrids. And then when the Noahic flood happened, the spirits of those Nephilim then became unattached to their physical bodies and became what we know today as demons. Jesus in Matthew 24 said that at the time that's close to his return, he says in Matthew 24, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And he's directly referring to Genesis 6 and what the days of Noah were like prior to the flood. Well, in the book of 1 Enoch, we get a lot more detail about what was going on during those days of the book of Noah, and that we want to talk about in future weeks. But for this week, we just kind of wanted to set the stage a little bit. So when we start talking about some of that additional reference material in the book of 1 Enoch, that you already have a little bit of a foundation to go off of. So it will make a little bit more sense next week. So I think that's probably a good place for us to stop for this week. And I wanted to know if you had any additional comments about what was on Ty Green's video of YouTube here today.
Absolutely. One of the things that we really want people to understand is that when he says to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that's what has to happen. You have to, you just can't take it, just that one scripture. Because some people think that reading a Bible is just reading that one scripture. No, you have to read the context and the co-text.
The co-text, meaning other texts that support or expand on the text that you're looking at.
Correct. Another thing is you have to understand that the way that they state things, it's important that you understand the Greek, Jackie, as well as the Hebrew, and understand that these books, like the Book of Enoch, you want to have, well, there's a reason why some of them are discounted and others are actually mentioned and backed up by the Word of God. Like, for instance, Jubilee and those books, because they are backed up by other books to say that even though they may have not been a part of the 66 books of the Bible, does not negate that they were not real, okay? Doesn't negate that they're not true, okay? So that's important as well.
Yeah, so what we're going to talk about in future weeks and bring some materials about that is because there's a lot of shows out there right now like Ancient Aliens and other shows. And then you have teachers out there, which I will say are false teachers, but they talk about things like the Anunnaki or alien visitors, or how they'll say that all these different cultures have legends or stories about visitors from other places coming down and doing things like giving technology or doing massively great things. And they say, well, see, this is how we got here, is these visitors. You look at it on the hieroglyphics, or look at it in the ancient literature from all these different cultures. And what they are not aware of is that most of those stories, or all of those stories from all those cultures, yes, they're talking about the same event, but the event they're talking about is the fallen angels of Genesis 6 that came down. And when we get into it in a little in the future, First Enoch talks about who they were, why they came, what they gave to us. They gave to us advanced technology, weapons of war. They gave us abilities of seduction for women. there's a lot of things that they brought in order to enhance the wickedness and to build this whole hybrid, these hybrids. And there's a reason why that they were doing that. And so the reason why all of the cultures around the world have stories that you'll hear ancient aliens or Anunnaki, or you'll hear them referred by other things, is not because they were our creators, but it's because this was the time of Noah where they came down, where they were taking women and they were doing these genetic modifications of plants, animals, and humans. Mm-hmm. And that was why God ended up destroying them all in the flood. So we're going to get into a lot more about what that was all about, because Jesus said at the time of the end, it's going to be just like that. And if we do not understand what our Bibles are teaching us or telling us, we will be deceived just like the rest of the world to think that they're here to save us. They're here to give us advanced technology or immortality or whatever it is that they're promising. It will be a false promise. And the purpose of that false promise is to get people to take that mark, the mark of the beast, and to get on Satan's side instead of Jesus's side. And it's our job as believers to hold fast to the scriptures so that we are not deceived. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Hopefully we'll get into that a little more starting next week.
Yes, and I know that a lot of this stuff may seem like it's fantastical and things that are, now you're like, this is some old. No, you know, and that is one of the reasons why I want to tell you to also be careful of that yoga. Am I lying, Jackie?
Anything yoga, new age, anything
yoga, because and it is so deceptive. It's so, when I tell you, it's just so. Sit there and pray with your, and you've got your hands down and your torsos, you know.
Those are literal idol positions of Hindu idols.
Look it up. We're not kidding with you. Look it up. We are not playing with you, because we don't have no time to play. This stuff is serious. And that yoga stuff, and this, it's a worldwide deception. They're trying to get people into the chakras. No, you need to be shocked out. Okay?
Well, I think that will be a topic that we would need to explore all on its own.
Yes. And
but coming back to the...
We do also want to read... Thank you so much.
We got folks in the comments saying, preach, predictions, not God. We got lots of people watching. We'll shout you out afterward.
Yeah.
But just know that we love you.
Yes,
and,
we do.
You know, this probably seems like, what? This stuff is way out there.
Fantastic.
The reason why it's way out there is there's a reason in Matthew 24 when Jesus said men's hearts will fail them for fear. What would it be that would be so shocking that literally people would have heart attacks upon seeing it? I would suggest to you that if we had a worldwide visitation of fallen angels,
come on,
who were doing the same wicked things that they were doing before, that could cause people to be so afraid that some would literally die of fear. They would die of a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And that's what is coming upon the earth. Jesus said that the tribulation that is coming will be such that the world has never seen before.
And it says that their heart will fail because of fear.
So we want believers to be aware so that you're not in fear. So when you see the news reporting that this thing or that thing or this contact has been made, or here's some revealing of this or that or the other thing, or this, here's the disclosure, or when you hear all these things, that you can put it in its proper context and know that the Bible has already prepared us to know what's coming so that we're not taken by surprise, taken by fear, or taken by deception. And sure, there are a lot of other things that we could talk about, but that's what your pastor is already talking about. They're already teaching you things in the Word. But I can almost guarantee that 9 out of 10 of the pastors that are out there right now are not talking about these sorts of things. And that's why we're wanting to fill the gap.
A lot of this stuff, you are not going to hear it on a Sunday. A lot of this stuff you're going to hear in Bible study is where you should be hearing it. And if you're not hearing it, there are other ways to hear it. There are still ways to support your pastor and his wife and their family. And then there's what I call personal Bible study. You have to personally get into that Word for yourself and not just take someone else's information as face value.
That's right.
You don't listen.
even though I had a stroke, remember that, Jackie? One of the things that I still did was still have ways to listen to the Word of God, to hear the Word of God and get it into my spirit, and to memorize the Word of God. Because do you understand that they're starting to close down things? There are some places you're not allowed to read the Bible. But if you hide His Word in your heart, you will not sin against King Jesus.
Amen.
You won't
to that.
Sin against God.
Amen. So that's, we're setting up the stage. We're setting the table, and we're hoping that it's interesting enough to keep you listening and to encourage you to get into your Word.
Yes.
And study it for yourself.
Yes.
So with that, I do want to remind you that if you want to hear this again, maybe you missed something, you want to hear it again, or you mm-hmm. want to hear the whole message in total, go to our website, mindhisbusiness.com. We post all of these messages on the website. So if you missed something, or you want to even go back to prior episodes, you can do that. Just go to mindhisbusiness.com. Be sure to follow us on all the socials. And also, if you want to hear this again and you're in your car, listen to the morning show Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. And we rebroadcast this message each week as we go. So tell your friends about the radio station. Enjoy your week this week. And be encouraged. Jesus is coming soon. The more we see these things happening, it yes. should get you excited yes. that we are getting closer and closer to the return of our King, mm-hmm. our Messiah, our God, the one that we love, the one that we worship, the one that we have had faith. We have had faith before we see, and that faith will be honored by our soon coming King.
Hallelujah.
Look up, for your redemption draws nigh.
Hallelujah.
So with that in mind, I'm Lady J.
And I'm Love Love.
And we'll see you next time.
Ciao.